Hey, everybody. My name is Damara West, and I'm founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their liberation and joy so that they can lead and live lives on their own terms. I'm delighted that you have joined us for the Women's Liberation Summit, which is designed to help you reclaim or claim your authentic power so that you can design a life that is truly based on your own terms. And the guest that I have in the lineup today is going to help you do just that. So let me tell you what you're in store for. Teresa the Songbird is a musical, lyrical, theatrical alchemist sprinkling magic and hot sauce on every microphone she touches. She's a supernatural wellspring of entertainment and flow. Hailing from the south suburbs of Chicago and calling Atlanta home, Teresa is dedicated to increasing accessibility of arts and humanities to young people through outreach in school systems across the country and as a talent consultant and coach through her company, Bird Media Enterprises. As a poet and singer, she's had the honor of her poem, You So Black, going viral from her appearance on the 2019 Trumpet Awards on Bounce TV, as well as being cast in season 3 of Verses and Flow on TV One. She's also recently graced the stage alongside the luminary talents of Jill Scott, Arrested Development, Jasmine Sullivan, and Robert Glasper. Amidst running businesses and tutoring the globe in 2017, Songbird self-published her first book of poetry, Mass Matter Magic, which is available on Amazon. Teresa the Songbird, you are officially in the building, sis, and I'm so happy about that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to share. This is a beautiful platform. It's a beautiful subject and theme for all of us women. I think, you know, naturally we are made creators, you know what I mean? So harnessing that energy of creation for ourselves is one that I'm here for that.
Yes, yes. I love that you just started with that. We are made creators. And I know that, you know, naturally we know we bring life into the world, but to frame it that way is I think it elevates that ability to create. And so many things that we touch, we just create magic. And, you know, there's nothing, and I'm not anti-men by any means, but there is nothing like a woman, nothing
absolutely.
Like it. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am a firm believer that, you know, my creator, I was made in the image of my creator.
Yes. Yes. Period.
Period and drop the mic.
And so much of your work embodies that. And when you're on the stage, and I've seen your work in a lot of different fashions, there is this quiet but also loud power at the same time in terms of how you show up on the mic, which I know we're going to be diving into this. And I imagine that in life, that's how you flow too. So you ready to get into it, sister?
Absolutely. Let's do
it. All right, let's do it. So the first thing that I want to explore with you is really just about the fact that, you know, spoken word and your spoken words more specifically is such a beautiful method of storytelling. You do it so well, so powerfully, so beautifully. And I'm just curious about how you landed on spoken word artistry and what advice you have for others who might be interested in embarking on a similar career path or a similar journey.
Well, as I started, like, I have been an artist my whole life. I've always been a maker of things. I started writing poems when I was like 14 years old, right at the beginning of high school. And I really would love to be like, oh, my life was filled with so much anxiety, and that's why I wrote. No, it was real regular. I started writing because I liked the way my handwriting looked on paper. Isn't that terrible?
It's beautiful because what you're saying is that there are a lot of pathways by which we can find our purpose. And absolutely. So I love that you started here, because a lot of times we talk about we got to write from a place of pain. Well,
no.
Sometimes we don't. That's not our journey. That's not our story.
No. My very first poem was about a beautiful autumn day. Yeah, it was really sweet.
I love it.
And then all the rest of my poems freshman year was about wanting a boyfriend. Mm. And we had to get over that.
Yeah.
What what I found was that, like, before, prior to being a poet in any respect, mm-hmm. my mom gave me diaries, journals. It was important for her that I take time to self-reflect, to document my life, whatever you wanted to call that. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of it for me around the age of 14, it went from being journaling to documenting my, what I was observing in life through the poetry. Yeah. You know, it went from being like, I'm going to write in my diary to like, this poem is just going to be how I view, like, I can even look back now. I may not name names, but I know who I was dating. I know who the mm-hmm. poem was about. Yeah. I can read the poem. I can remember where I was when I wrote the poem, not just physically in the space, but like mentally mm-hmm. in my brain and in my heart space. So for me, writing poetry, as I've continued to do it and recognizing that it's very much personal for me, always very personal mm-hmm. and about my life and about what I want for myself, I've learned to use that, because even the things that I have made up have somehow found their way into being, even, you know, the stuff that I was playful about in my poems. Mm-hmm. So somewhere along the way, I felt like God was trying to tell me that my words are serious. Like, my words have serious power. My words have serious manifesting ability. Mm-hmm. So I try very hard as I shape my poems, as I shape my ideas. I understand that the feeling is everything. Yeah. So when you guys see me perform, I'm trying my hardest to ball up the feeling and throw it on you. Yes. And if I can get the feeling on you, then everything else, we are on one accord.
Yes. Yeah.
We are making the thing as soon as you feel the way I feel.
This is really important what you're saying. You know, first and foremost, you highlighted that you have always written about what you know, right? From the autumn day to dating boys to, you know, to being Black, right? And Absolutely. What it means to be Black and the pride associated with that. And also you said something that was, I don't want us to skate over this. My words have serious manifestation ability. And what you are offering us is that even though you didn't know at the time that you were manifesting, unconsciously, Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And now Absolutely. It sounds like at this stage in your life, so many things have happened because of this unconscious manifestation through the power of your word that you know now for sure that you have the ability to create anything that you want through the written word. This is so powerful. And so talk to us about what kinds of things have you been able to manifest through the power of your written words? I would love to hear about this.
You know how I did this. I'm just going to boast on this one.
I love it. Yes, please do. Give us the juiciness.
Yeah, the best one, because I know everybody's looking for that. Debt freedom. I didn't do nothing. I don't want y'all to think Teresa Thornburg ain't applied to no debt reclamation programs. None of that. I told the universe, I wrote it, I believed it several times over, and life just started lining up. Wow. And that just appeared out of nowhere. But outside of that, like, I have always known that I was going the route that I was going in terms of being up and performing in front of thousands of people, being the notion of like slowly becoming almost like a household name. Mm-hmm.
You are becoming that. You are already that in many households, but you really about to become a household name. So this is, so you knew, right? How did you know that you would be in audiences of 1,000+ people? I mean, of course, that financial freedom that you talked about, boom, pow, like that's amazing. Yeah. And this is really powerful. And it speaks to that if we can see it, and if we see it enough times, and if we believe it enough times, it's gonna happen.
It just happens, I promise you.
Yes.
I just use that because it's so tangible, right? Yeah. On a very like basic human need level, when you can't find your way out of like a bind, it's hard to be a dreamer. It's hard to imagine and feel yourself into a better space. But I promise you, like, I know it sounds crazy, but it works, man.
No, I love this.
Really good.
Yeah.
When I thought about, I was like, man, I wasn't worried about no student loans. I was like, God, gonna pay all my student loans off in one while. I don't even think about that.
Wow.
Like, it's not a thing. Wow. It's never been a thing for me, a burden. Like, I don't. My body is incapable of holding on to worries, concerns. Mm. I know a maker. I know a most high divine source who is capable of giving and doing whatever is required. All your job is to live in your purpose, be your best self, shine your brightest light. Don't let none of this mess concern you and worry you.
Girl, that was a haiku right there, right? Like, you know, what you just shared with us about manifestation. And, you know, Pam Grout talks about this in her book, that our number one priority in life is to center our joy. That's it.
That is your job. You were sent down here to be a happy soul.
Yes.
And everything else is really that's the fight, the distraction. The distraction is depression. The distraction is bills. The distraction is health concerns. The distraction is familial concerns. The distraction is all the stuff that a woman has to do to perform and provide all the time. But even in the midst of all the doing, even in the midst of me being in my stuff, I have this faith. Because that's where you ask, like, where this all comes from, right? Mm-hmm. I've known since I was a child where I was going. I may not have known how I was going to get there, but I always knew. Teresa going to sing, I'm going to be famous, mama. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know.
This is really powerful. So you were saying at a young age that you wanted to be famous, and that continued to be your thread. And so now, you know, all these years later, Grammy nominated, spoken word artist, on stages with folks like the LA Clippers and Jill Scott, some of the greatest artists of our time. That reminds me of King Richard, right? And he wrote out a whole story about what his girls were gonna be. But the beautiful thing is that not only you knew, you stayed anchored in that belief, but you also worked. You took inspired action, right?
Oh, absolutely.
To make that come a reality.
I didn't have a choice. I was going to be hustling poetry or something else that starts with a P. You understand? Either way it goes, we was going to survive.
I love it. Wait a minute. And God was like, look, sis. I got a plan for you.
Right.
And what you say, and this idea that you didn't have a choice, this is really powerful, because the reason why you didn't have a choice, I feel like what you're saying, is because you knew that you were destined to use your voice to do great things.
Not only that, but I have worked in several, you know, but prior to being Teresa the Songbird, all where we are now, like, I've been a substitute teacher. I've always worked in education. I've done a few different jobs for different people. Mm-hmm. And what I learned about me in the process of doing all these jobs is that I am a better leader than I am an employee. The more responsibilities that were put on my life and the more I wanted to adult for myself, like, yeah, you could be a poet out here, couch hopping from wherever to wherever, trying to figure out how life is going to work. But when it's time to pay rent, where does the money come from every month? How do you create stability for yourself? And then it was like, that was when the aha moment, because I've been doing this for a while, but then it was like, oh no, now this thing you love has to sustain your life.
Yes.
You got to be able, you like hot water. You like a warm house. How much poetry do it take to make hot water in a warm house?
Come on.
That's how much poetry you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think what you're also offering us, Teresa, is to think about how there are times when it requires us to pivot, to take our hustle or our passion and to say, no, this is my life. This is my purpose. I've got to make room for more of this, because making room for more of this is really where my abundance comes from.
And being willing to be flexible in all of your gifts, right? Because I'm a spoken word artist. I'm also a graphic designer, which allows me to do things like create this banner behind me,
which is gorgeous.
For other people to work on my own website, to create other stuff, to do work that's centric to what I need, but also to create another source of income. I used to do hair. I am recently started designing and sewing my own clothes. So it's not just this is the one thing I do. I'm great at a lot of things, and I've learned how to take all of those things and funnel them into my business and create multiple sources of income for myself. So that's that when I'm in quarantine and there aren't any open mics to go to.
This is so good, right? Because a lot of times we do feel we box ourselves in, and I so appreciate what you said. I'm good at a lot of things, and all these things that I'm good at is really connected to your base, which is connected to what you're working to create in the world. Absolutely. Your ultimate form of creation, it sounds like, right, outside of all of this talent that you have, it funnels into you being on stages to deliver your powerful words to people, right? And how God, source, universe has provided you with everything that you need to be able to continue to create that pathway for that. And so I just so appreciate that, because so often we feel like we have to choose, right? And society tells us that we have to choose.
Right. But here's the thing, right? And I'm not saying anybody has to subscribe to any specific way of thinking, but I was brought up in a house where Christianity was Christian centric. So I was brought up in a house that, you know, gave me the Bible. I've been able to eat on a lot of different religious texts, but this little tidbit is going to come from the Bible, right? Proverbs 31 talks about the good wife, right? But what people miss, I think, a lot of times is that the woman that's being observed in Proverbs 31 is a single woman.
Come on now.
Is a single woman. And when you read all the stuff that this one woman is doing by herself without any help from any man, and to then understand that the whole book of this particular book is about teaching the king what kind of woman he should be looking for.
Come on.
We talking about aligning yourself with your best royal presence. Like I am
girl, aligning.
Proverbs 31 woman is not about laying in wait for some man to come along to rescue you. It's about being the kind of woman to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, getting herself fed, not just feeding herself, feeding everybody in the household, not just feeding everybody in the household, feeding all the servants, all the people in the neighborhood. Then she go to work. When she go to work, she do everything at the job. When she delegates, because she's done all of the jobs, she can tell you how to do yours properly. When it's time to go out to the field and work with the cows, she can milk the cow, skin the cow, cut up the cow, turn the cow into glue, turn the cow into meat, pack up the cow, freeze the cow, drive the cow across town, sew the clothes from the cow. And
so this is, girl, so you know what you're saying is like, you know, we are every woman. And
absolutely.
And I do believe that God made us this way, right? For a reason. Like you said earlier, you are a perfect image of God, made in his, her image, whatever we identify with.
Right.
And in the midst of being able to do all of those things, which, you know, just hearing it, it's like in one breath, it's like, oh, I have so much pride in this identity as a woman. But in the other breath, it's like, it's so exhausting, right? So how do we, girl, come on. How do we breathe through some of the realities of what it means to be this Proverbs 31 woman? Because that shit is daunting. So how do we do that in a way that is liberating for us?
Oh, okay. So that's hard, right?
Come on, sis.
Like that last, you had me until you used those words, liberating for us.
Yes.
Because I think it also comes into what resonates as liberation for you.
Come on. Yes.
Right. I am liberated as I see, like, the kids, like when I get recordings of like the children learning my poem for Black History Month, I am liberated in that, right? Mm-hmm. It may not necessarily be what other people deem should be my sensei, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It may not be what I think, what works for me as liberation may not be what you are seeking, mm-hmm. you know? And then I look at like womankind as a whole, my, you know, my internal tiny feminist is like, will we ever be liberated as womankind?
Yes.
But when we talk about just like on a self-care, the quietness of myself and how I feel about me, right? I think that that's a tangible level of liberation. And because I write, I find it there. I find a space where like I'm right now, I'm doing a poem where I'm just, lack of better terms, I'm dealing with my bullshit. Like I'm putting, and that's a thing, honey, to like be like, this is who I was.
Yeah.
She was a messed up person. And I got to come to terms with that. I am finding liberation in that though. Every step of dealing with it is one that allows me room to become a more honest, more useful person to myself. I also think that, I know this sound like trite, but y'all need to drink more water.
That's real.
And get more rest. Like y'all need to turn the lights off. You need to turn the phone off. Drink you some water. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not turn the phone off. Get you a good meditation list.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get like, there's a connection to the body that we have to embrace, right? I think all women have this thing about ourselves because we are in this weird colonized patriarchal place where like we are born into this body, and as we get older we start hating parts of it, and then we have this internal dialogue about the parts of our bodies that we hate, or maybe the body as a whole, and you wonder where the disease sets in, where the tightness and the aches come from, and the disconnection. Like a lot of it is that we need to like literally unplug, drink some water, get you a dry erase marker and a floor length mirror, and start writing love notes to yourself on your mirror, so that every time you look at your reflection, it's embedded with the love that you have for yourself.
Yes.
And let the reprogramming begin. Get that bottle of water, put the same love note to yourself on the bottle of water. When you drink the water, every time you are taking in, you are rinsing your insides with the love that you have for yourself, and watch how just the ball, the avalanche begins to roll in your favor. Like a lot of it is like, we got to, even if you can't, like, you know, some of us are moms, some of us are entrepreneurs, we got a million things going on. Even if it's 2 minutes that you take in your bed before you get up from the bed, before you close your eyes to go to sleep, just to reflect on how wonderfully made you are, how awesome of a warrior you have been, how patient of a saint you have become, how humble of a person you have been on this journey, and that everybody ain't made it. Take time to remember your friends who did not make it this far. All of that. You have to take all of that in the stop, and then just breathe in the fact that you are still here. And if it's still hard, man, you got to understand that God is still, is something forward. If it's stuck now, it's because it's something in front of you that you have to get to.
Come on.
So take courage in that.
Yeah. You know, I admire everything that you said, right? Because having 18 different women on the lineup and you ask this question around liberation, you get 18 different answers.
Right.
And I just, what you shared with us about all the ways in which we disconnect from self, all the ways we begin to hate self. And I was just talking to someone recently who said, you know, everybody wants to make it and live as long as they want, but we don't want to have to deal with all the things that come up as a result of getting to that place. Look. And so when you talk about, you know, drinking water as being trite, no, we know we are water. And if we are not consuming water, if we're not taking space, if we're not, and I love what you said earlier about how this piece that you're working on right now, where you're really having to face parts of yourself that maybe you don't like. And I believe that the reason why you're doing that is because we are all light and we are all dark. Absolutely. And God is saying, baby girl, I need you to look at all of it because I love all of it. And also about this recognition about how far you've come and the simplicity of just leaning into loving ourselves holistically in this body, because this is what we have right now. This is it. The lived experience is what we have right now. That's it.
And you, I love words, right? That's why I'm a poet, because yes. I, you know, the English language is a weird one, and it's got so many double entendres in all of it, right? So yeah. peep game for, yeah. especially for the Christian centric folk, peep mm-hmm. game, right? Mm-hmm. You got this phrase, greater is the power that lives in me than that lives in the world, right? Mm-hmm. We've all heard that, right? Mm-hmm. If the power in me, like that means the resource is internal. Mm-hmm. Right. And we also know that the power, life and death lie in the power of the tongue. Yeah. So what you say, the words that you use are vital. They are everything. So imagine waking up and talking to yourself crazy. Imagine waking up and then understanding that you are talking to the source. Yeah. Crazy.
This is so good. This is so good. Well,
you have to change that internal language. It's not that stuff that you say to yourself that don't nobody else ever hear. Oh, girl, ain't no man ever gonna want me. Why would you ever?
Yeah.
Why? You have to change the programming. I look in the mirror and I'll be like, girl, I understand why.
I understand why this man wants all this lusciousness.
Why they scared, girl, because it's a lot. Rawr. They ought to be concerned.
Oh my gosh, this is so. So, I mean, what you're inviting us to do is to examine every single thought that we have. And I like what you're saying just about the things that we don't communicate, but then also we both know there are ways that we communicate with ourselves all throughout the day out loud that are, like you said, they're transmitting a message that are literally blocking you from the very things that you want.
All your wishes and goals and desires. You can wish and go and you can wish and want and pray all you want. But after you get up off your knees, if the thoughts in your mind is on that bullshit, so is everything that you are attracting to yourself.
Damn, that's so good. If your thoughts are on some bullshit, so is everything that comes into your life. This is so, again, I love it. I love framing manifestation in this way, you know, from the mouth of a poet, right? From the mouth of a spoken word artist, because, you know, like you said, the way in which you use words, you know, the power of words in every fashion, not just the power of your words to be able to connect with humanity in whatever way you're being called to, but also the way in which you're using words to stay grounded in the truth of yourself.
Absolutely.
Which
everything is faith and love.
Come on. Yes.
Everything is faith and love. Mm-hmm. So if you have your source of faith, if you have your source of love, and that is like tangible, you can feel it in your hand, you can feel it in your heart all the time. You just got to keep that. You have to keep it in such a way where nobody else's stuff can interrupt that. And if you are in an environment that's triggering to your ability to keep that, you need to be protective. I got a sister named K Love, right? Mm-hmm. And she puts it best. She has a show where she talks about the baby and you being the baby. And she always says, well, who's going to take care of the baby?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's your job to take care of, like, you won't let nobody, she do it better than I do.
Yeah, but it's resonating.
I don't want to take her thing, but you have to protect your energy.
Yeah.
You have to be the one to be like, you know what? I feel like if I stay in here, my love life manifestation ain't gonna be where I want it to be. So yeah. Y'all have a blessed day.
Well, and no, I mean, I think what you're offering us is that we are the baby. We are designed to protect ourselves. And as the more we do that through making sure that the right people in our lives, and we're listening to music that's affirming to us, and we're connecting with, you know, amazing people like yourself, where you're vibrating at the same level. These are all things that enrich us, that expand us, that make us more, even more deeply rooted in the truth of who we are and that becoming, which is always at the forefront of our lives. And Absolutely. So that was just really powerful. So, you know, back to this, you know, the whole theme, as you know, of the summit is liberation. And you've given us a little bit in terms of, you know, what liberation means to you. But if you were going to bottom line it in the word of the spoken word artist, what does liberation mean to you?
Liberation to me is being able to move the way the Most High and my internal compass desire without having any friction between that.
Yeah, that's good.
Being able to, that's really like, I know it's one sentence, but it's really all encompassing for me. Yeah. The way how I love, I can't have no friction there. That has to be smooth, slick, very quick and easy conduit from here to there. Mm-hmm. On a broader scale, liberation is being able to have these conversations much more quickly, mm-hmm. with quicker exchanges, without not having to be the teacher, with being able to be the student,
yes.
and having this idea be spread like wildfire, not just amongst the women, but amongst everyone.
Yes.
So that there, that we don't have to just have safe spaces for us to have these discussions, so that all of humanity can be enlightened, mm-hmm. and awakened.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
That would be liberation.
Come on. And I so appreciate what you said, that it's not just about, right? Like you touch so many women through your work, and you embody your feminine energy in really beautiful ways. And yet you know that your work is really about touching all of humanity in whatever yes. way source is calling you to do. And so, you know, getting up to this point, and you've shared so much with us about your journey, and I would love for you to share what have been some of the most pivotal liberatory moments that you've experienced on your life path.
When I was 15, I got a letter coming to my house asking if I would be interested in being a people-to-people student ambassador. Mm. I didn't really understand what it meant at the time. You know, I read the stuff, but my mom was like really, really excited. Mm-hmm. So we went to all the meetings. We started writing letters to my mom's Christmas list to ask friends if they would donate to my trip. Mm-hmm. And I did. I raised $5,000, and wow. I was able to go abroad. Me and 39 other students went to Australia and New Zealand. And then 2 years later, I did a trip again. We did the same thing, raised the money again. And I did a trip to England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. I think that was a moment when I understood that you really don't have to have anything but a good heart to do anything in the world.
That's so powerful. And again, it speaks back to your ability to manifest, right? Where you raised the money many times over that opened the door for you to have such rich experiences that right. I'm sure has shaped you in a multitude of ways. I love that. I love that so much, that when we tap into heart, and we know, you know, love is that one of the highest vibrational emotions that we can experience, along the lines of gratitude and empowerment and peace. That is the secret to living our highest self always.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. So thank you for sharing that, right? Because again, it speaks to our ability to co-create always in so many ways in our life. So you were nominated for a Grammy, which is super exciting. You've been on the stage. I talked earlier, I think, about the fact that you were just with the LA Clippers and, you know, with amazing artists of our time. And so talk to us about what those experiences have been like. What have they meant to you?
Man, look, man, I can't even believe this is my life. I cannot believe that this is my
life. It's your life, sis. It's your life, and you do.
And I was the one who manifested the thing. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
That is the, like, I am continually, like, I look at where I am now, and I'm not, you know, everywhere I want to be. You know, we still got goals to go, but I look at where I am now, and I look back at, like, 9-year-old Teresa, and I know she like, okay, I see you. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping, you know, like, I want to honor my younger self.
Yeah.
Because I know this is a dream that I've had a long, long time. So like just having the momentum in my direction, I just, you know, I don't have any children yet. Mm-hmm. So the only kid who I have to worry about is my inner child, the one who had all of these dreams to begin with, the one who does have an expectation that I'm going to use my life to do what I said I was going to do.
And it's really beautiful that you said that you're working to honor, right, and to integrate, and that 9-year-old little girl knew that you would be this, and of course she didn't know the fullness, and there's more. We know that there is more, and in many ways I believe that, you know, that you're still just getting started, right? Even though you've been at it for a long time, you're still just getting started. So let's talk about your work now, right? You create such beautiful things with your words. And, you know, one of my favorite pieces that you have created that went viral was You So Black. And, you know, every time I never get tired of watching it. And every time I feel very deeply connected to that part of myself, my Blackness. And, you know, I'm multiracial, but I identify as a Black woman, and it's brilliant. And so what's the inspiration behind that body of work, and what inspires you in general to create?
You remember I told you all them years ago I was writing poems about wanting a boyfriend. Well, my mama found my sad little book of poetry and came to me and was like, Teresa, what is this? I don't know. What kind of writing you call yourself doing? And then she goes to her shelf and she finds some book of poetry by one of her classmates. Now, mind you, my mom went to school in the 70s. You know, I'm a kid, like we're talking like 96, 97. So of course I'm gonna respond like any teenager. Don't nobody wanna see that old book, mommy, and that old way of thinking. But it was a book of like poems about being Black, about the, you know, civil rights movement and all of that. And I just kind of stayed as I got, you know, growner, more adult in my writing, in my subject matter, and what I understood was necessary, because that's always kind of been my thing. When I come in to an open mic, I don't necessarily do what's being done. I feel the audience, and like I'm feeling for the message that they need. And if it's in a collection of my work, then that's the piece that I'm doing. And as I'm feeling, you know, I also understand that there's pieces of my toolbox missing. So I wrote a couple, like in the time span that I wrote You So Black, I wrote a couple of very cultural poems and songs.
Yeah, you did a series, right, sis?
More or less. It was like a little collection of them, but I wasn't performing. Like if you were to have hired me to do a 45 minute feature, I'd have did 45 minutes and you would have never heard You So Black. Most of my friends knew the poem existed, but I only really did it at like Juneteenth festivals, like explicitly very Black events, right? Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't that, I was just, we was having a great time. Mm-hmm. So having, this is how you know God lines things up, right? Because mm-hmm. The way that poem, the way I got to the Trumpet Awards, I couldn't have got myself there. It was really like a friend of a friend giving me the word mm-hmm. to get into that space. That's a whole story by itself. The fact that they asked for that poem, because that wasn't the poem I auditioned with.
Wow. Wow.
So to even get to You So Black being the poem that production wanted, even my, like the dress, I got booked to do it 2 days before it taped, and I found the dress at a thrift store.
Girl, that dress is everything.
Everything.
Everything, honey. And it was designed just for You So Black. I'm so like, it was like perfect.
It at the thrift perfect. Store. Cost me $12.70. Yes, it did.
Yes. You know what? So this goes, so everything that you shared, again, speaks to your power and our power to manifest. When you talk about the story behind even getting to the Trumpet Awards and the fact that this poem was clearly, God wanted people to hear this poem, exactly. Or else it wouldn't have been the poem. God knew that this dress was going to be perfect, fit you perfectly like a glove, honey, and fit perfectly with the essence, right? It wasn't just the fact that it was the color of it. It's the essence of the dress, the silhouette of it. Everything flowed within this graceful, powerful words that's dedicated to our people, you know?
Which takes me back to when I watch the video, like I am disconnected to the place where I can watch the video for like 45 seconds before it registers that the woman speaking is me. Wow. Like I'm wrapped up like, oh my God, the poetry is so beautiful. This moment is so wonderful for Black people. Look how great she looks. Oh wait, that's me. That's me, Jesus. Wait.
Yes, yes. You know, and this is, that speaks to like also how grounded you are, right? There's a playful element to how you show up in your work that I think allows you to stay anchored, right? And to trust the path, because there's no way that you could have, no amount of planning could have ever set you up this way. That's why we've got to trust the path. And as long as we stay open, and we walk through the door when it opens, because we got to walk through the damn door.
Absolutely.
The door is always going to be available. The voice, God is always speaking to us through our dreams and magazines and in conversations like this. And God is always speaking to us. But the question is, are we listening? Do we see it? Do we see it?
And not just listening, but you have to also deal with yourself, because a lot of us hear the call, but are paralyzed in fear.
Come on. Yes.
Paralyzed in fear, in the concern of failing at it, which is the thing. I you might fail at it, but there's also a lesson in the failing. You learn at such an accelerated rate when you fail through the process.
Yes, I love that. Failing forward. And the reality is that none of it is real failure. All of it is just the pathway, because, you know, if we realize that life is unfolding in a way to help us with our evolution, then we will see everything that happens to us as a gift. Absolutely. Everything as a guide. Absolutely. And girl, I could talk to you all day long, but I know we don't have all day. So I want to jump into our final question for our interview. And this is very much connected to what you just shared. It's clear that you firmly stand in your power in a myriad of ways. What did it take? And this is about courage too, right? Mm-hmm. So what does it take for you to do that? And what advice do you have for women that are struggling with their power and moving in the world in a way that is really in honor of them?
I will say you have to start with a list of gratitude, right? Mm-hmm. And it might have to start from your childhood. I had to go from like the ground up with mine. And you need to do just a list of gratitude of when God has been prevalent in your life, when you have shown up in your life, when someone else has shown up in your life, to understand that you are worthy. You are worthy of the blessings you've received, of the dreams and the goals that you've set. You are worthy of the attention that has been cast upon you. You are worthy of the opportunities that have been put in place for you. There is a divine plan just for you. You have to know that first and foremost, because the thing is, like, as women, it's hard sometimes to find a foundation, because so much of our lives is predicated on helping others and doing this kind of stuff. But you got to build your own foundation. You got to stick it somewhere where you can always access it for those days when it's not as easy to whip up the good feelings. That's why it goes back to it. And then, honey, you got to fake it till you make it. Rihanna told us that.
Come on.
If you're not feeling powerful, so what? You make your hair look powerful. Put on some powerful makeup. Go put on your powerful outfit. Figure out how to make your hips move to the powerful movement of your divine self. And you reprogram the body. That's the thing. You are not helpless. You are eternally great. You are a magnanimous computer, and it is easy to reprogram. As soon as you claim it, it is easy to reprogram the body. It is easy to reprogram the mind. I already gave you your tools. Get you your water, get you your dry erase marker, start talking good to yourself.
Come on, sis. Oh my gosh. So I love you. I love you. This interview, I feel like I'm going to go back. There are so many compilations of spoken word artistry just in this interview. We could just extract it and write it down. And it speaks to just the fact that you are flowing in your gift. You are flowing in your gift. And it's so beautiful to witness and to have you in this space. And I would just love for you to share just final words of wisdom to the audience on liberation.
Abundance is abundant. There are no limits on abundance. There are only limits that you place on how much abundance you are allowed to have.
Come on. I feel like we could just drop the mic. That's it. The interview is officially over. Sis, how can people stay in touch with you? Because I know that they are definitely going to want to stay in touch with you. So how can we do that?
Oh man, I'm super easy to find. You can find me everywhere at THA Songbird. That's my Instagram, my Facebook, THA Songbird, the website, thasongbird.com. You can Google THA Songbird. You can put it in YouTube, THA Songbird.
Oh. You have given us so much life. Thank you for showing up with your full self, not holding back, and really pushing for us to be excellent. And you have set us off right, sis. And I am deeply, deeply, deeply grateful, truly. So y'all heard it here at the Women's Liberation Summit. Teresa the Songbird has gifted us with her words of wisdom. So many nuggets have been dropped here. And I imagine that you want to continue your inspirational journey. So if you haven't checked out the other 17 videos that are out there to help you live a liberated life that's rooted in your authentic identity, to help you manifest your deepest desires, you will definitely want to check them out. In the meantime, make sure that you follow this queen and all the amazing content that she has out there to inspire us and help us on our liberation journey. She's definitely somebody that you need to keep tabs on, because as I said earlier, she is just getting started and there's going to be more and more fire as she continues to go on her journey. So until next time, beauties, Ashe.